and so burned up my day. But I got a message for you tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that in spite of whatever might come our way, you still have your way. So, Father, we give you this night. I ask, Lord, that you use me, speak through me, Holy Spirit. Use my mouth, use my body. Open our hearts to receive your word and the freedom that it brings in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are going to be in Mark chapter 5 tonight. And this is where Jesus goes and delivers a demon-possessed man. Okay? Now, Jesus had just crossed the Sea of Galilee, called the storm to be quiet. And when he gets to the other side, we're going to start in verse 1. It said, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes." This is a Gentile region. I believe this is the Golan Heights region, as I've heard. So it's the other side. It's about 9 miles away from the other coast. "And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains." You know, I remember years ago, I went and saw the John Jacobs Power Team. And they had a police officer up there, and he was going to do the... Anybody ever see him do the handcuff thing where he breaks the handcuffs? And one of them asked the police officer, he said, "What would you do if you saw a man break the handcuffs?" He said, "Run." Okay, here's a man who's breaking chains. Okay, we're not talking little dog chains. And not even with chains. "Because he often had been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me.' For he had said to him, 'Come out of the man, unclean spirit.' Then he asked him, 'What is your name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.'" Legion was about 6,000 soldiers. "Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there on the mount near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, 'Send us to the swine that we may enter them.' And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. Okay, now if you understand, there's one man, 2,000 hogs. And what we're about to read that the hogs did... it's no wonder. "And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who had fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid." This man was so tormented, folks, he cut himself. You know, many of us have heard of cutters. You may even know somebody. They are so tormented with themselves, they don't know why they do it, but they just cut their body. See, cutting's nothing new. It's been around. It's a form of possession. They're being tormented by something. In this case, this man lives in the tombs. He lives in a cemetery. Now, there's some things about the cemeteries we need to keep in mind. First off, cemeteries are put there for visitation, right? You go visit. You go remember. The stones that are set up there are for memorials, to remember somebody. We can read many times where they set up a stone as a memorial. Anytime there was a covenant made between God and man, there was a memorial established to it so that we could go back and remember it. Well, this man is now living in memories. He's living in yesterday. He's bound. He's tormented by everything. I don't know what brought the demons on. Obviously, something did. And it's tormenting him so bad that he cannot handle it. Okay. His strength is so much so. Again, we're talking chains and shackles. He busted the shackles into pieces. Not just snapped them like handcuffs. He busted the steel and got out of them. He snapped the chains. And he ran around naked. And so this man is constantly living in a place that should be just to remember. Let me ask you today, how many of you can name somebody who's stuck in yesterday? They are living there. They are not at peace with anybody. They're driving themselves nuts. They drive everybody else around them nuts because they are stuck in yesterday. Something that should be a memory. Something that should be something we can go back and say, hey, this was a good thing. You know, and that's usually what's on the tombstone, isn't it? You don't have, I've never yet, have yet to read on a tombstone, here lies a despicable waste of a human being. Okay? I'm just trying to find the most. I have yet to see that. It could be the meanest person in the county, and you will not find that on their tombstone. It may say, rest in peace. It may say, dear loving father. Whatever. It will not say that. It brings about the good memory, usually. But you see, again, when people are so stuck trying to relive the glory days, isn't that how it was at Bruce Springsteen? Glory days. We go back and all we can do is just keep reliving glory days over and over and over. It's not talking about bringing up things that change you, things that made you who you are, okay? Every one of us has got something like that, okay? It's, I can't get past this. We still think, you know, this is, and, you know, getting a little bit older is not fun. I'm not going to lie about it. It's not fun because my mind still tells me I can do these things that my 18-year-old son is doing. My body tells me halfway through it, you wrote a check that I'm not paying. And so I have to let those glory days go. You know, when I was watching Joshua run, I remember running and thinking, oh yeah, just kick right here, you know, just trying to, I don't know, will him to run faster. You know, when Jesse's carrying the football, you know, I just want to live through him sometimes. And see, and there are people, that's where they're at. They don't have a future. And so they're tormented by everything that they haven't become. They're not happy with themselves. And again, these things can be good. You know, we've all, I can look around here, and everybody could give me at least one good achievement in your life. Something you've attained. But if that is where you stopped, you missed out on what God has for you. And it will torture you, and it's going to drive you nuts. This man, again, we don't know what brought about his possession. I cannot imagine over 6,000 demonic spirits living inside. It killed 2,000 hogs. They committed suicide. This man had been trying to commit suicide and was failing at it. People tried to control him. That's why I understand that there are some legitimate mental illnesses, but not all of them are just something that didn't develop right. They can tell me what they want about Tourette's, but for some reason, Jesus Christ is the only deity that they curse. What's that about? The demons recognized as soon as Jesus got off the boat, they came running to him. They knew The man, we don't know, it says the man came and worshiped him. The man recognized, here is my salvation. The demons didn't want to go. Now, if we read in verse 8 there, where it said, for he said to him, Jesus had obviously previously told the demon to come out. It's a Greek past tense. For he said. It means he had already told the demon to come out. See, everybody, there's a part of the conversation we don't have because Mark and the Holy Spirit decided it wasn't that important. And it's really not, because it says it right there. For he had already told him to come out. Things of the past don't want to go. You know, we all have a regret, don't we? And you're going to live with it. But you don't have to live in your regret. There's a big difference. There's things, oh man, I mean, looking back today, I really regret cutting across that field like that. If I had known I was going to disable my truck, which I have to tell you, I praise God that it did it there and not on the road. Could have been disastrous. And it showed me I need a new truck. But with all the things that we hold on to, that we try to hold dear, we don't want nothing to change, do we? We want our kids to stay our kids, our babies. We always tell them, you'll always be my baby. And I understand that. I mean, two of my boys are taller than me now, and it won't be long, and they'll outsize me and outweigh me and everything else. But they'll always be my babies. But you know, I want them to grow. I want them to go off and have adventures. They need to see the world. And if we keep saying, I don't want anything to change, we will miss those moments with them because we tormented ourselves over we didn't want anything to change because we like everything staying the same. And we're comfortable with it, aren't we? I like for my chair to be in the same spot. You can ask Angela, when we put down the laminate floor, it's a little slicker than the carpet we had at the other house. And my chair would always stay in the same spot. But my chair is never always in the same spot anymore. Somebody gets in there and they'll slide it. It's not hard to move it. And I'm griping, who keeps moving my chair? We like for things to be the same. You know, I grew up in a family where not a whole lot stayed the same. Dad might have went to work with that morning and mom was a brunette, come home, she's a blonde. That was just the way it was in my household. And if he came home after dark and didn't turn on the lights, it could be disastrous. I think I do remember at least one occasion he missed the bed because it wasn't there anymore. But so many people today are torturing themselves over the past. And again, remember, memorials, tombs, they remember the good. But that's not what we remember, is it? I mean, we remember how good it was. When I got out of the Marine Corps, Angela, I mean, what was it, 2 years later? We'd moved back, and I was just about to reenlist. I was like, you know what, forget it with civilian life, I'm going back. I was somebody there, okay? And she said, honey, you need to remember one thing. You are only remembering the good. And I was. I forgot about being up at 2:30 in the morning with everything I owned waiting on a flight line. I forgot about the butt chewings that I got because somebody else did something that they shouldn't have. And now I've got to deal with it. I'd forgot all about the high wages that I'd gotten, which was a joke back then. I'd forgotten all about that. So I only remembered the little bit of good stuff about it. But you see, when we get trapped living in a cemetery, we're there with the dead. Our dreams are gone. Our desires are gone. Because we're afraid to step out of the cemetery. We're afraid to go out where our dreams are at. Where God has meant for us to fly. And all because we're comfortable. Many of the things I look back in my own life, if I had re-enlisted, if I had gone back to the military, the dreams that wouldn't have happened. I can just about promise you we would not have had children. Because, well, she might have left me. No, I did not want military brats. And the reason they become brats is because it's a hard life on children. I did not want that for my children. So I would have missed out on all those times just because I was good here. And I don't know what's over here. I don't know. It's a step I can't see, isn't it? You can't see that step. Every last one of us in here can remember when we graduated, the world was before us. And it was just waiting. And it was saying, come on out. Take a step. You know, I find it funny that the animal kingdom seems to be the only kingdom other than insects or whatever. But the humans are not like this. The animal kingdom actually realizes that for life to go on, the baby eagle's got to be kicked out of the nest. The mama bear, she quits feeding the babies. The mama wolf, she quits feeding them. The lioness, she makes the baby start hunting. Because their survival depends on it. We're afraid to step out in our own dreams. Well, God, I'm in my 50s now. I'm in my 60s now. I'm in my 70s now. So what? Caleb was in his 80s when he said, God, you promised me a mountain. And you can say what you want. He was still 80. 80 is 80. I know personally, I don't feel like climbing a mountain, let alone fighting for a mountain at half that age. There's so much more in our lives that if we would let go of the things that are holding us back. Like I said, sometimes it's memories. Sometimes it is things that people have said or done to you. Did they form who you are? Your past does form you, but is that what formed you? Did you become a chicken? Or did you rise up and overcome it? I know many of your stories in here, and you've overcome a lot of stuff. And God has so much more for us if we're willing to get away. And quit letting other people. This is something you need to understand about this as well. Other people tried to tame this man. They tried to say, this is your dream. This is how you'll be the rest of your life. Who says? Who says I have to be chained to this? Who says I have to do this? Who says it? Somebody else. Somebody else dictates our joy and our happiness. Stock market goes up. Ooh, everybody's rejoicing. Tax season rolls around and everybody starts getting a bad attitude. I haven't turned mine in yet. They got to figure them yet. I'm going to keep a positive, godly attitude. That's my faith stepping in. Who says you can't do it? Who says you can't do it? Who says you're too old? Yeah, I understand there might be some things you don't want to be doing. I understand why they don't recruit 40-year-olds for the military. I really do. One, I can't duck walk anymore. I have yet to figure out why we ever needed to do that to begin with. But I can't do it today. I might be able to get down there, but it's going to take me a minute to get back up. So I don't join the military. So what? Do you know, it is a hilarious thing. I have actually helped recruit more people since I've been out. I couldn't get anybody to enlist while I was in. You can ask Hansel. We just walk in, somebody finds out, one, I'm a pastor, and two, that I'm a Marine. And they say, my son's joining the Marines. Would you mind talking to him? I think they're hoping I'm going to talk some sense into him, but I think it's a good thing. You've got experiences that other people need to learn from. But you know what holds us back? We failed. We failed at this business. We failed at that. We failed at this. Yeah, we may have been a great success doing this, but God's plan for us lies completely over here. 20 years ago, if you'd told me that I was going to be a preacher, God has said, you're crazy. That's not God's will for me. I didn't like people. Just being honest. Angel and I, we saw a show on Alaska the other day. And, you know, knowing how well I love the cold now, I told her, I said, I am so glad I did not pursue that pie in the sky dream of moving to Alaska and living off the grid. See, that's what I saw myself as. To be honest with you, at that time in my life, I hadn't even killed a deer, hadn't killed a rabbit, shot maybe a couple birds, bunch of windows. There was no way I was going to feed myself living off the land. And I'll be honest with you, to this day, I thank God we have farmers that raise cattle, because my deer seasons don't turn out the way I plan them. But that's not going to stop me from going out next year. It doesn't mean that I have to be the world's greatest hunter. I do it because I enjoy it. It doesn't mean just because you got something you like to do, you have to be the best. Do it and enjoy it. Do you know kids enjoy swimming the most? Really, when they can't swim? They don't care. They don't know. They don't know the dangers, but as soon as we fill their mind with the dangers, well, then they start. And there are some other things I do know they try because they can swim. But we live, if you're a loving parent, you live for those moments when they realize they can jump off of that wall or that bridge or whatever it happens to be that they're jumping off of. Saw Dad do it, I'm going to do it. This man represents a type of shadow, people who have been bound and chained to their past by other people. You have failed so many times. You'll never be a success. You can't do it. This is as good as you're ever going to get. I didn't actually hear this from the man. But a fellow that I knew was reported as have saying, God only wants so many people to have money. Kind of an arrogant statement, because it's not based on that. The other man just capitalized on opportunities that had come his way. Are you willing to let your children, your grandchildren, your family hold you down? Say that you can't do it? If your goal and your body can hold up to a marathon and you want to run a marathon, more power to you. But don't let people tell you that you can't do something because you tried it before and you failed. If you're stuck in a ditch and you quit trying to get out, you're stuck. I personally live by an adage that if I'm stuck, I don't care. If there's something I can be doing to get out of it, I'm going to do it. And if I got to sling some mud, then I'm going to sling some mud. But we all try to keep it. We don't want to look like we're stuck. We just want to putt through life. What fun is that? Make some noise in your life. You do realize that anytime God did anything worth happening, there was some noise. You got to think about the noise that brought down Jericho. The power of God was released at those trumpet blasts. Folks, those walls did not come crumbling down. The Bible says they went straight down. When the army marched across, they didn't go across rubble. They walked across the flat top of that wall. The same God that did that for a bunch of slaves, people who had been mistreated, lied to and abused, told that they were no good and they were worthless and stinky sheep farmers. God did that for them. Because they were willing to get out of their prison. They were willing to sever the ties. And I know a lot of times we like to look at them and say, well, this is where they failed here. They kept rewinding. Let's go back to Egypt. How many times have we said, if we could just go back? Can I go back to high school? If I could go back to high school with the knowledge I have now, might be a little different story. But the knowledge I got now came from experience. I didn't get that in high school. If I could just go back and redo this, if we could just go back to where mom and dad paid the taxes and the rent and all the stuff, then you know life would be good again. And I always went to the fridge and there was food in the fridge. You know, we all in here pretty much understand that concept. The food gets in the fridge because you went and bought it. And in order to buy it, you had to go to work to get a paycheck. Tonight, folks, if you're living in the past, you need set free. You need to start walking in the victory, the one that God has given you. God has not ever said that you are worthless. God has never said that you can't do it. Because my Bible says, with God, all things are possible. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if I would ever become the world's fastest human. With God, it was possible, or is possible. Let me rephrase that properly. I'm not going to try to be the world's fastest human. It's not a desire of mine anymore. Who cares? Somebody's going to pass you up eventually. It's not a desire I want. I want to be the best man of God that I can be, the best husband I can be, the best father I can be. Those are the things we need to live by. Not worried about when people say, well, you know, you need to act more like a preacher. I stopped at the accountant's office yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Like I said, mind you, I hadn't shaved. And I'd been over helping my dad, and so I'd stopped by on the way back to talk about my taxes. And I had my black beanie on, my black T-shirt that says, "Death smiles at everyone, Marines smile back." Blue jeans, my work boots. And our accountant, she's the one that saw me there. And she says, "I'm sorry, I did not recognize you until I was about 6 feet away from you." But you know what? She actually knew my heart. She knew who I was. She didn't say, "You should really start looking more like a preacher. You should act more like a preacher." I refuse, folks, to live by anybody else's dog chain. That's all there is to it. God didn't tell me to go buy a robe with a collar. One of the things that it actually took, well, I mean, we're all Gentiles, but it took a heathen to open my eyes one time. I was getting a haircut. I used to go to a barber in town, and I said, "I need a professional-looking haircut." She's like, "Why?" I said, "Well, I'm a preacher now." "So?" I thought about it. I thought, "Yeah, so what? Jerry Savelle's got a flat top. I'm just afraid to cut it down too close right now. Just a little more scalp showing there than I care to reveal. But who cares? You are who God created you to be. You've gone through things. Do you know if God has asked you to do something? And I can attest to this, because there's been times I've thought he was crazy telling me to do this. But God knew you were going to do the things you did when he called you. He knew it. And he still called you. He knew even after he called you that you were going to fail in some areas. And he still called you. So don't ever think that just because you've not lived up to what other people expect of you. God knew it. And he still called you. Listen. The fivefold ministry is not the ultimate ministry. The ultimate ministry is the one-on-one relationship you have with people outside these doors. Telling them just what this man did. They came back, they heard from the pig farmers. And they came back and they find this man sitting in his right mind and clothed. And when Jesus was getting in the boat to go back because they ran him off, the people that were trying to control this man ran Jesus off. And Jesus was leaving, and the man came to him and he said, "Please, let me come with you." Jesus said, "No, but you go back to Decapolis and you tell everybody you know what I have done for you. Right there is the greatest ministry, folks. You don't have to have a worldwide television network. Your one-on-one with people every day means more to God, or just as much. Let me rephrase that. Means just as much as all the satellite signals going around the world telling people that Jesus loves them. Because the people that are in the grocery stores, they need to hear it too. So do not continue to let people tell you that you should be more like somebody else. And keep putting that chain around your neck and dragging you down. Nobody should ever be told you should act more like so-and-so. You should be more like so-and-so. A wife should never say, I wish you'd be more like Pastor. Ask my wife. You may not want that. I can be a big baby sometimes. I'll admit it. All right, let's stand. God has so much more for us than we could ever imagine. Yeah, sure, we may not become millionaires, multimillionaires, whatever. I don't care. But the joy I get out of hearing that somebody is serving the Lord because one of you talked to them. Why don't you talk to them off the ledge? There's no money that could buy that feeling. The seeds you plant every day into people's lives. Maybe just being kind. Cutlass did a song a few years back talking about the worth of a smile. And what it means to somebody if you just smile at them. They'll usually smile back. Usually they will. And if they don't, that's somebody you can pray for. Because obviously they've got more on their mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we once again thank you, Father God, that you've loved us in spite of ourselves, in spite of what we've believed about ourselves. Father, I pray right now for every person in here who is living with a chain tied around their neck to what somebody has said about them, what somebody has said they should be like, whether they're trying to live up to somebody else's standard. Father, we know the truth that the only standard we have to live up to is yours. Lord, I pray right now for a renewing of our minds. That you cleanse, you heal, and you restore everything that the enemy has taken. You fill their hearts with your love, with your compassion and your mercy, and establish their worth with you. Father, that they realize it's not what they do that made you love them. You loved them in spite of it. Father, I bless them now as they go about. Father, I thank you right now that you're healing bodies, that you're giving rest to the weary. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, you're dismissed.